We played a load of shows, got signed off the back of that to Sony and Columbia Records, and that was the start of it. And then we... I worked with her for 3 hours in an afternoon. We just quickly wrote a song, and I then mixed it the next day. I sent it off. I didn't think anything of it, and that became a number one in Italy.
Hello， 各位听众朋友们，大家好，欢迎收听旷野电波，我是主持人柯婷，
我是主持人刘老师。
今天呢，邀请到了一位我一直以来非常想邀请到的嘉宾。
谁啊？
就是我们国际传播系的 Richard 教授。
他是什么来头呢？
他之前是在英国做乐队的，然后他所在乐队呢，在英国的唱片排行榜上获得过第13名的好成绩。作为乐队主唱，他呢和很多名人明星有过合作经历。
谁呢？可不可以暂时剧透一下？
就是达利姐。
Lana Del Rey。
之后呢，他攻读了博士，然后他现在在我们宁波诺丁汉大学是一位助理教授，同时他也是在 B 站上拥有着上万粉丝的博主。那么今天呢，也非常高兴能够邀请到 Richard 来我们的节目。
是的，
欢迎 Richard。
Welcome, Richard.
Hi, nice to be here. So, yeah, my name is Richard Freno. I'm the assistant, well, the new assistant professor in international communications here. And I guess the reason why I'm here and talking today is because of my background. I'm actually not originally from academia, from the music industry, and I've moved into academia. So I've worked with lots of artists, I've worked as a producer, I've worked as an artist in my own right. Hopefully give you a little bit of insight into my backstory.
So Curtin just mentioned that you are a video blogger on Bilibili. So I wonder why you choose a Chinese platform.
That's a good question. I ask myself that question sometimes. it honestly wasn't something I kind of consciously went into, although I don't regret it, it's been great. So really, the reason why it started in the first place, my wife was doing a master's, and one of the project outputs was creating some kind of social media presence. So we thought, what a great opportunity to leverage my background as a producer and an artist. And she knows the Chinese audience really well. So we thought, let's try Bilibili. I was thinking it'd be maybe like a few hundred people would pick up on it if we were lucky. And suddenly we kind of put out this city pop type music, really digestible little bites of kind of here's how I would make a beat. So it's been great. I mean, it's really nice to be able to communicate with an audience, convey some insight into some creative work that I do. And I was really surprised by how kind of voracious and excitable they were in terms of my input for music. So that's one of the main reasons why I'm in China, I think, is because I started that Bilibili channel and it gave me this idea that actually people are really keen to learn, and I think I can add some value here. So yeah, that was it, really.
So the initial reason was your wife?
It was, yeah. It was just supposed to be this little module output from a master's, and then it kind of turned into, snowballed into something we kind of weren't expecting.
Romantic story.
Yes.
You are my destiny. So your videos on Bilibili are mainly focused on music, right? I love music too. So how do you discover your passion for music and then actually choose to become a professional songwriter and also a music producer?
Yeah, so I think it comes from my childhood. I grew up in a lot of different countries, from the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Japan even. The one common thread that I had through my childhood was we always had music instruments in the house. I had a piano, I had a guitar. So I found that to be really comforting. And then I moved on to playing drums, which probably annoyed everyone around me, but it was a really fun kind of process. And I got really into writing my own music when I was about 13 or 14.
Oh, 13?
Yeah. And this was the stone age of computers as as well, so I really had very basic recording setup, and I produced my own music out of necessity because I needed to get my ideas down. So that piqued my interest, and I moved into doing a music technology degree actually at university, and I got lucky and fell straight into an engineering job in a studio straight after my degree. So I was really ambitious at the time, just in terms of, you know, writing, and I was working really hard. I was super excited. So whenever the artist would go home at the end of the evening, I would stay in the studio and I would write my music until 2 or 3 in the morning, just by myself, rattling around this studio, which was great for me, have this hands-on kind of experience. So unbeknownst to me, the studio manager would listen to some of the music that I was making and sent it to an artist manager in London. He kind of got in touch with me. I didn't have a band at the time. He just got in touch with me and he wanted to manage me. So that was the start of it. So from there, I had to put a band together. So I put my band together really quickly, and I contacted people from all over. One of them was from America. I met him online and he flew over to audition to be in the band, and that was it. He got deported the first time, actually. Okay. But yeah, that was another story. But and I put the band together, and I was really scared of playing live. It was something that I'd always been a bit terrified of. I think that was why I was attracted to being the front man, because I thought, oh, that's a challenge. I want to take it on. Oh. So that was kind of a little bit of a recurring story in my life. Whenever there's something I'm a little bit frightened of, I tend to just be like a moth to the flame and I'll go for it. So that was it. And then we played a load of shows, got signed off the back of that to Sony and Columbia Records. And that was the start of it. And then we, you know, we toured heavily from there and recorded the album in some amazing places, at Abbey Road and Rack Studios. So it was a great experience in my life.
Mentioned you want to challenge yourself, so you become the front man of your band. And as ordinary people, we are just very intrigued about your life.
Yeah, well, there's lots of aspects to that. I think in terms of being in a band, the touring is great. I mean, you get to go all over the world. I got to visit all over Europe, America, you know, Japan. You know, we played some of the biggest festivals in the world. We played Glastonbury, you know, V-Festival all over Europe. So that was really exotic and really fun. There's another side of playing live, which can be a little bit mundane, where you know, especially in the early days, you're living out of a van, and it can be a little bit hard. You know, at one point we were the most toured band on our agent's roster. So, you know, I got to have all of these experiences. I got to meet when I was playing festivals, or if I was touring, I got to meet some really famous bands like Coldplay. We played with The Killers, Ed Sheeran, which I can talk about. A lot of bands and artists, and on the whole, they were really great. But the other aspect of being in a band is the creative side. So it's writing and producing. And that was the reason why I got into music in the first place. So the thing with being in a band is you get the creative stuff out of the way first, and then you've got to go and tour a record for a few years. And they're two very different competencies. But I always really loved being in the studio and being creative. So that's why I ended up going back into that after my time in my band. But yeah, I had some great experiences. I played some huge festivals, some huge gigs in some great countries, and yeah, I can't complain. It was a great experience.
Okay. So I've heard that you had the experience playing with Ed Sheeran, with Lana Del Rey. And for those who still don't know who is Lana Del Rey, I'm gonna sing a song and see if you ring the bell. Will you still love
me?
Anyway, so I'm desperate to know what would it be like to work with the London Dream in person、mm. and with other bands and stars.
Yeah, so I've worked certainly in terms of being a producer, a writer,、mm-hmm. and in my own band, I've worked with quite a lot of high profile artists, right?、Mm-hmm. Lana Del Rey specifically was interesting because this was right at the beginning of her career.
Oh.
So she just had video games.I don't know if you remember, there was a video that was put up online for that single, her first single, and it blew up. It was huge, and、mm. nobody was expecting it.、Oh. But the minute that you heard that song and saw that video, it was undeniable. It was like, oh, here's a star, right?、Wow. You have those moments occasionally in the music industry、uh-huh. where it's just something arrives, it's super natural.So with Lana Del Rey, she was working with a producer in London called Justin Parker,、mm-hmm. who was managed by a friend of mine who was also my manager at the time.、Mm-hmm. It was a really quick process, right?、Uh-huh. So with Lana Del Rey specifically, I just got thrownone of her tracks, which was、mm-hmm. in a bit of a mess as a project, and、uh-huh. I had to piece together through it and kind of work、uh-huh. that out and make sense of it.A lot of artists as well that I've worked with kind of over longer periods of time、mm-hmm. where it's a case of developing the artist. One is a girl called Laura Welsh. You might not know her name,
yeah, I know.
But she's been on the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack. She's done、oh. a lot of kind of peripheral stuff. She's been very successful.、there's a few others like Ella Eyre that are very well known in the UK.、Mm-hmm. So I've been responsible for both kind of coming inand doing jobs kind of very quickly. For example,、mm-hmm. An Italian artist who、oh. I didn't know,
okay,
who was very successful in Italy. I worked、uh-huh. with her for 3 hours in an afternoon. We just quickly wrote a song、uh-huh. and I then mixed it the next day. I sent it off. I didn't think anything of it. And that became a number one in Italy. That was a gold record, right?
Wow.、
And it's this strange process where it's a little bit like、you do it enough times with enough people and something hopefully will do、
oh.
well. But then the development side was a lot more rewarding, actually, working with artists,、mm. you know, and really building a career. Anyway, I digress. Non c'è più pericolo, ora che siamo qui, anche questo ostacolo, ora senso, è così. And we're back.The Ed Sheeran, for instance.、Uh-huh. So I'll just move to away from production and writing and more to me as an artist working as touring artist, right?、Mm-hmm. Ed Sheeran was a really interesting one.、I toured with him on the west coast of America with another band. I don't know if you know them, Snow Patrol. They were quite successful、mm-hmm.
Sorry,
in the 2000s. Yeah. And、so Snow Patrol were headlining. They were the main act, right?、Mm-hmm. And then Ed Sheeran was on...the middle of the bill、
oh,
but actually Ed Sheeran was in a similar position to Lana Del Rey、mm-hmm. he was exploding in America at the time, but they'd booked the tour a long time before、
mm-hmm.
most of the people who came to the gig were there to see Ed Sheeran, so the venue kind of emptied out for the headliner Snow Patrol、mm-hmm. but the interesting thing with Ed Sheeran, I'll get to my point, is、
uh-huh.
I would have conversations with him just before、Ooh. He'd go on stage, right?、
Uh-huh.
As if I'm、that? Talking to you right now,、
uh-huh.
as not that we have microphones in front、
oh,
of us,、
okay.
you know, but a casual conversation. And then he'd go on and play to these thousands of people, right?、
Uh-huh.
And then he'd come off stage and we'd just pick up the conversation exactly where we'd left off, as if there was no gig in the meantime. He's a really relaxed、
oh.
approach to things. Quite a special guy in terms、uh-huh. of the fact that he's not pretentious and...he doesn't get nervous. He、
wow.
was just getting on with it. So, yeah, that really struck me about him.
It's sounds like your life as a star is so amazing. Like you can work in with some successful people and also you can enjoy some amazing moments on the stage. What inspired you to pursue your PhD degree? It sounds like a huge transition from the music to academia.
It was a big transition. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be so big.But it was a bit of a process. You know, I said I stopped kind of being an artist in my own right for a while and I moved into writing and production. Well, that kind of cemented this idea of, oh, it's interesting to look at artists and the way that the music industry is changing, the way that platforms have changed, how artists communicate with their audiences. You know, I was a producer and songwriter for 10 years in London, and the change in the music industry over that time, this was after I was an artist, was huge. So I saw firsthand this disruption and how it was affecting artists and record labels. So that was the seed of the idea. And then also I got really into podcasts like we're doing now and learning about things. You know, I got really into feeding my brain a little bit more. And I felt like as much as I loved, you know, the side of the music industry that I was in, I also found that I was curious about pursuing something in a more research-based academic way.
So did all that research help you make songs?
Yeah, so it gave me a perspective, right? One thing I speak to the students about now is it allows you to articulate the things that feel innate, these understandings that you have about industry.You may not be able to talk about in a kind of articulate way, but coming into academia really gives you a really broad understanding of the mechanics of how things work. And that's what I want to really drive into people on my module, Communication and Technology.
Okay.
Right? It's the fact that you can apply a lot of these theories more broadly to music, media, right? All of these things. So for me, it's been a bit of a journey understanding that and unpacking that because I wasn't expecting it. The other part of why I went into academia, my dad is a doctor and he's actually a professor, dean of a medical school. And I always felt a little bit like, you know, here's me, you know, this musician bumbling around, you know, and there's my dad and he's got this academic kind of career. I thought, oh, it'd be interesting to pursue it. And just to tie it back to, oh, I always do what I'm afraid of. I didn't think I could succeed, right? And so it was a real challenge to me to be like, okay, I'm going to do a PhD. So that was the thrust of it. I'm a little bit, as I said, like a moth to the flame. If somebody says I won't do something or I can't do it, I'll just do it twice as hard.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, please be encouraged. I was talking to you earlier about the process of doing a PhD as well. And the process for me was finding something I was really passionate about. And that helped me a lot. So we were talking about my music output and I built a studio. I recorded an album while I was doing the PhD. It had nothing to do with it. But I had that time and it didn't feel like work. The PhD didn't feel like too much work because it was something that I was really passionate about. I know that it can feel really challenging, but it's that's why it's so important to find an area that really gets you going, right?
Wow, yeah, that makes sense. Actually, well, I'm doing the project and when I try to be engaged in the area that I'm interested in, I feel much better.
Much easier, isn't it? Yeah. Running around.Feeling the pain of life, just to get aside from the girl inside. Ready to die, still holding on, just to get it right with the man you wanna be. Days and the nights, just to waste souvenirs from the arcade we take to feel alive underneath, just to feel like a number
It sounds like you just find your passion and you just find some voice from your heart and everything in your life goes smoothly.
Definitely not smoothly.
Really?
Sound like that. And I guess when you zoom out of people's lives, it can often have that effect. So I don't want people to feel like it is like that because that's definitely not how it is. My journey in the music industry was full, littered with problems, right? Constantly. And as is every artist's journey in the music industry. Nothing is, you're very, very lucky if you don't have kind of issues or setbacks. I've had plenty of those, and I've had plenty of those in my academic career as well. But when you zoom out and you look at it more broadly, it really does look like a journey, right? But it's not a straightforward journey. Yeah, it's a journey from left to right. You know, you're kind of swinging from branch to branch, and you don't really know. If you'd have asked me 7 or 8 years ago if I was going to be sat here as an assistant professor in international communications in China, I wouldn't have believed you. But I'm really glad for it. You've just got to react to those challenges that you have in life and try and face them and try do the best that you can every day. Not every day is going to be easy, though.
You have just mentioned you will never believe you are going to be the assistant professor in China. So how was your life in China? You know, did you have encountered some cultural differences in China? And how is your life as a professor in our university?
It's great. I mean, I've been here for 6 months to the day, I think. So it was a process settling in, because China is quite different, certainly from where I came from in the UK. But actually reminds me a little bit here in Ningbo of Brisbane, where I did my PhD. It's got a really nice life balance. Yinzhou especially is really green and lush. And it's, yeah, it feels now, I have to say, it feels like home to me. I think I'd get reverse culture shock if I went back to the UK. Because there's so many conveniences here, right, that you take for granted after a while. So I've really settled in here. There's a couple of factors as well. The music side of it, as I mentioned before, the fact that people are so keen to talk about it and there's an appetite for it has really helped me settle in here as well, and found my voice at the university, you know, as an assistant professor. So that's been really refreshing. So the one thing I'd love to do is find more time, you know, more time to do the Bilibili, more time to engage on campus. And I feel like once the teaching semester's over, I'll definitely be able to dive into that a little bit more. I would love to be able to do more in terms of the music side of things on campus, and also more on the Bilibili channel as well. That's the hope of mine, is to engage a little bit more with that side. But in terms of my role here as an assistant professor, it's been really rewarding. The communication technology module that I'm teaching, as I said before, those theories linking back into industry, being able to bring on board people like Bjark, who are interested in video games, or Eugene. I really want to hit home to the students that tangible aspect to academia, the fact that you can tie those theories to industry and you can tie industry back to academia. Hopefully gives kind of tangible idea. But that's getting away from my life here in Ningbo. But it's just an aspect of it which I found really rewarding. So I'm happy here. I'd love to stay for a long time, and yeah.
So any other cities you think it's...
So I've been to Shanghai. I went to the Music Expo in Shanghai. I went and met Arturia there, which was quite exciting. Just brought in an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with Arturia and UNNC, which basically means that over the next 5 years, they're going to help support the music side of things here. They're one of the biggest music technology brands, right? So that's exciting. The other thing is, we originally bought a house in Chongqing. So my plan over the next year or so is to build my dream studio, recording studio in Chongqing. I want to bring the Bilibili audience along with me. I'll try and include the UNNC audience if they want to follow on the Bilibili.
Yeah, we want.
and I want to build out this dream studio and kind of have it be this learning moment for everyone. Obviously, I'll stay here, but it's only a 2-hour flight or something to Chongqing. So, yeah, when I get little breaks here and there, I think it's something that's going to give me some purpose.
Do you think the challenging yourself is kind of a way to explore yourself, you know, to explore the potential of yourself?
Yes. I think the learning moments in your life are not the ones where you're doing well. They're the ones where you get the setback or you get the challenge, which is a struggle to deal with. The times that I've grown the most have been the times when I've had the hardships, where I've really had to push through, you know, whether it was with the academic journey or the music journey, right? If everything comes easily to you, you don't really grow very much as a person. So I don't know what it is about me that seems to embrace that struggle, but it's just too much for me to resist. So that's why my life has been the way that it is. And I, you know, I have this level of ambition, but more so just this curiosity about the process of things and how it works. So I want to understand academia. I want to understand in my own way the music industry and how that works.
So basically, we are approaching the end of our episode. Before we end this show, do you want to add something or share something with our audience?
Yeah, I just want to say again, I've been really happy being here, and it's been really rewarding for me having conversations with students on campus, not just related to music, but also about academia and that enthusiasm that I've seen. And it's always an ongoing conversation, right? Self-learning and growing in terms of academia. So there's this element where you've got to stay curious. I know it sounds like a cliche, but in order to do that, you've got to be open. You've got to be open to those conversations. So I'm really happy to be here having these conversations, and long may it continue.
It's our pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, so we are taking the recharge courses. Maybe one day I can become one of the stars like that.
Yeah, I'll try and create a new module, How to Become a Star.
Yeah, I would definitely take that.
No guarantees, though. That can't be one of the kind of module outputs, is you have to become a star. That would be hard to assess, right?
Handbook, how to become a star.
Yeah, I can break it down into steps.
Anyway, that's all for today.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's a pleasure to be here.
那么今天这期节目就到这里结束了。在听完这期节目之后，如果你对 Richard 的音乐生涯还有什么感兴趣的，或者想要和我们分享的，都可以在评论区内告诉我们。
一些八卦呀。
我们下期节目再见，拜拜。
拜拜。
拜拜。